We are barely settled from all the hoopla of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany, and it's the baptism of Jesus already. Not quite sure how that happened so quickly, but here we are. And it's really kind of a bit of an intrusion, sort of like today. You know, it's winter. It's supposed to be snowing. Rain is an intrusion in the middle of the wrong season. It doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. Even if you don't like snow, you've got to admit this doesn't feel right for this time of year and here in this time. And in the gospel, we hear about John. He's been busy working. He's been going around telling people about repentance and about something greater, someone greater coming than him, how we need to look at the ways we do things and have done things, and how we might change those for the better. And he's an intrusion in himself. And then Jesus appears, and in the midst of a lovely day by the water when John is doing his work, Jesus gets baptized along with everyone else and is quietly praying, and then there's the intrusion of the Holy Spirit. When one thing is expected and another happens, we're thrown off. So when we have a baptism, when the child comes up to be baptized, and the priest takes the water and goes like that, and sprinkles all of you, and it gets stuck on your glasses, and you don't like it, you don't know whether you're going to get hit, or the next person to you, you have no idea. You're thinking it's all fine. And then the Holy Spirit, symbolized in the water, gets you. That's what God is like. God is an intrusion. Just when we think that we are claiming one thing, we find out in Jesus' baptism that we are actually claimed. We say that we will do all these things, and yet what actually happens is God says, "You are mine. You are mine." And we have to do something about that. It offers us a way of seeing and understanding things differently. All of a sudden, that which separates us from God, sometimes the very rituals that we have put in place to keep us close to God, all of a sudden we realize they're not close enough. That God is right here, right now, intruding on our lives all the time. So we know that intellectually, but do we believe it? Do we remember the waters of baptism touching our heads when we were infants? Or is that why it's so surprising when some water falls on you? Do we get it? Do we live it, that we are not just making claims as Christians, but that we are being claimed? It's like Epiphany, like last week. Epiphanies aren't subtle. You know, when you all of a sudden have that light bulb thing, it's not a subtle brightening of the light. It all of a sudden hits you. And baptism should be like that for us. This Sunday should be like that for us. We look for God subtly in all places and in all people, and then all of a sudden God comes crashing through the clouds and stops us dead in our tracks. Well, our baptism should do the same for us. Even more so now that fewer people are being baptized in our world. It rests with us. It means actually probably something more. In a couple of weeks, Celeste will be baptized at home in England. And when they return, we will have a celebration for the gift of her to us. How beautiful, how wonderful for both those events. But that talks about how not only is Celeste part of us and part of another community, how we are claiming her, how God claims us with joy. This very day last year, a little test, does anyone remember what we were doing on the baptism of the Lord last year? One person, Stephanie, what were we doing last year? Very good. Confirmation. It was bishop's visit. Very good. Top marks to Stephanie. The bishop was here on the baptism of the Lord, and that is because we did all sorts of wonderful things while he was here, and we celebrated our new entrance our new narthex. We had a wonderful feast. We had a wonderful celebration. We had an open house to welcome people in. And we kind of adopted over the last year the motto where doors and hearts are open. And I want to remind you of the prayer that is on your way out of the door. God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and friendship. Narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make this threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children, nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back the tempter's power. God, make this house the gateway to God's eternal kingdom. What a beautiful prayer, but it is not wimpy. That is not, may this doorway of this house be a doormat. That is a prayer about being strong and being free to choose and being free to make our place the way we want to make it, but that it reflects who we are. Doors are easily kept open. We've found that this year. We rarely have a problem getting people to come and keep our doors open. We are blessed. People want to be here, want to welcome people in. But what's found within the open door is what really counts. You know what that's like. You go somewhere expecting it to be fabulous. I went to dinner the other night with a friend, and she was saying how they'd gone to another restaurant, and it looked great. You know, great-looking menu, great-looking atmosphere, with a nice bunch of people. They went in, and it was a terrible experience. She'll never go back. And, of course, now I won't go there. And you wouldn't either if I told you where it was. But that's the way it works. We can have all those things, but what is reflected when you get inside the door? Baptism is a sacrament. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. That's the definition of a sacrament. So does our outward and visible sign reflect what's in our heart? When people sit on the steps, when they come here on Sunday morning to a service, when they drop something off at the office or come to a music practice, attend a program at the well or anything else here, or buy something at the community shop, is their experience in all those places and times A, welcoming, B, open, and C, have healthy boundaries where there is respect for all? Do we monitor ourselves and keep each other in check? Because that sign is about as much what we take out as what we come in. The interesting thing, of course, about being church people is that we expect everyone to come to us. But that's not true, is it? Most of us live out there all the week. And so do what we do as individuals and the community reflect what we believe when we're within the wall of this church? And when we don't respect our boundaries or each other or do something that's not so good, do we address them honestly, with grace and positivity as much as possible? Do we trust the other members of our community and those entrusted with leadership to make good decisions? And do we ask the questions we need to ask of ourselves personally and of us as a community? In short, are our baptismal promises at the heart of our community? Because every one of us at some time has responded, I will, with God's help, to the following questions. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? These are not wimpy questions. And the answer, I will with God's help, whether we proclaim it individually or as a community, is not a wimpy answer. Jesus' baptism reminds us that we should not get too comfortable with our own baptism. It's not to say that we question God's intentions or God's actions or God's desire to make us God's children. None of that is a question. Rather, it's to say that God is choosing to be with us. God is choosing to be one of us. God chooses to make us God's own. That should be the intrusion in our lives. We get to see who God is in that. You see, baptism is an intrusion. It's boundary crossing. It's risky. Baptism is God's presence when maybe we don't want God to be too close. If we're honest, the heavens opening up and the good news and not such good news, depending on how close you want God to be, what you want God to see, and who you want God to think you are, can be good news or bad news for us. But baptism is ultimately about promise. The promise of God's love and grace, God's protection and provision, and the comfort of our community when we fall short. So baptism, despite its joy and its delight, and we all ooh and aah when it happens with a small child, and we are all impressed when an adult decides to be baptized. All of that is not just a moment of gratitude. It's a moment of awe and responsibility. It's a moment when we stand in a place and we say that we are claiming to be something, but we are also claimed by God. I could not help but read the words very strongly in that first hymn we sang today. I, of course, didn't look at them before we came, so it was a surprise to me. Thanks, Gordon. It's always helpful. Holy Spirit, come with power, breathe into our aching night. Not exactly a cheery start. However, it's true, isn't it? We are human, after all, not God, and we do ache, and often it is night. And yet we ask God to come with the Holy Spirit, come with fire, inspire us with your word, give us gladness, inflame us with your love, and break upon your congregation, give us vigor and life anew. So in this new year, on this feast day, may we have the opportunity to rejoice about the outward and visible sign of our inward and spiritual grace. And may we be surprised about what that means. And may we take what we say seriously, and may the intrusion of God be upon us. Amen.